kind of see what's been going on. G. Bush has been out here every day. Coach Riz has been out here every day. It's my first time being out here this season. Not much has changed from what it typically is, though, guys. Like, I'm typically just in the corner doing the radio crew. What's nice is that in years past, the beat writers and beat reporters, there's been times where they were stationed right in front of us.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like I was like doing a show for them at times. That's never fun. That's it. Because like you'd watch, and we used to saw this with our old boss Andy Roth. He would do this too. So Coach Riz, he would, like, I'd be saying something, and they would all kind of like either nod their head in agreement or like shake their head of being like, no, that's not right. That's not it. We don't like this take. And like you see them all collectively, like they're bobbleheads. Like they're all just like, oh yeah, that's a good one right there. Or like they'd smile or laugh at a joke, or you'd like go for a joke and it wouldn't land, and you'd see them all just kind of not laugh, and you're like, this was the funny part. What happened here? This is the funny part. So I like that you guys are very, very far away. But Coach Riz, very important day today. First off, thanks for being here. We appreciate you. And,
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
By the way, I want to preview. You're going to be with me. So this is interesting that G. Bush is here, by the way. G. Bush and I did the pregame shows together for how many years, G. Bush? Like 8 years?
Yeah, it was like crazy.
For a very long time, right up until kickoff, it was me and G. Bush starting at like 9 in the morning or something and then going all the way on E6 and then doing all these different shows and everything. Coach Riz is going to be playing the role of G. Bush this year with myself.
Oh, so like, listen, this is like when you like break up and then like you see him with the next person.
We broke up with you and now we're getting together with Coach Riz.
They're like, yeah.
And we're unveiling this right in front of your very eyes.
It's a tough follow for me. It's a tough follow right in front of me.
Maybe because it's 2025 and maybe it's because we're progressive. You always have an open invitation to come join us though. At any point that you want to, we'll let it be known. You can come join us for a pregame.
That turned into...
You left us. We didn't leave you. You left us.
This turned real swingerish real quick.
That's what... It's progressive. It's 2025. It is what it is.
Just all together.
We don't kink shame around here, guys. You're into what you're into, okay?
To each his own.
You probably thought you never...
Coach Riz is like, what did I walk into?
I thought I was going to
break down MJ Emerson, and now we're doing this.
But, you know.
All right, so what did happen with MJ Emerson today? We saw him rolling out there with the cart. He had the towel over his eyes, and just from a distance as I'm doing the show, we could tell it was awful. And then you see more of the video. You were right there, though, front row seat. Take us through what happened.
Well, the thing that really hurts is how good he's been coming into camp. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't have a great year last year, but he works so hard. Every year I've watched him, he's such a hard worker and works on his craft. So he's been really good so far since camp started. Actually, the play went to Fannin. So I was focused on Fannin, and I kind of turned. It was almost like a non-contact, and then he went down and he grabbed the knee. And in my years of, unfortunately, being a coach and, you know, being around football, you see those knee injuries. I will say this. It's like not losing a game before you play it. The knees are so weird. Sometimes they look terrible and you're okay, and sometimes they look like nothing happens. It's an ACL.
Yeah.
It just didn't look good the way it was laying there. It didn't look good the way the trainers reacted.
I mean, he's crying.
Yeah, it didn't
look... People are kneeling down and praying. He's in tears. Like, it's just...
And when you grab the back of the knee, that's usually a sign, not a good sign. I'm hoping for the best, not only for the Browns, but him as a person.
Was it like Kevin Durant against the Rockets, where he just instantly feels like it looks like he got shot, or does it seem like something else?
Those non-contact things are weird because as a player, you don't know what happened because you didn't hit anybody. Nothing happened, and it's a lower leg. So anytime you get a knee injury, is it the knee? Is it the Achilles? Sometimes it's hard to tell. But you can always tell by a player's eyes what has actually happened. So I'm hoping for the best. It didn't look good. Just like I said, the way his left leg was kind of laying there, it didn't look deformed or anything like that. So that tells me it's more of a knee. It just grabbed the back of that knee, and he didn't have a lot of movement. And the way they put him on the cart, pretty concerning.
Yeah, it's I've had two ACL surgeries. I've tore my PCL, so I've had like 17 surgeries. So I've had some that's contact and some that's non-contact. When you get the non-contact, it's kind of you just know it. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of move and you kind of look around, and it's just that sinking part in your stomach. And the emotion comes from the work you put in just to get here. If you get hurt during a game, you're like, okay, cool. At least I made it to the game, and that's what we work for. But you get hurt, and you ain't put the pads on, or you get hurt in a practice setting, because I tore my ACL in a practice before playing University of Pittsburgh, and it was just tough because you kind of know in your heart of hearts what it is. You're just waiting for that signal. So hopefully Martin, because it's contract year for him. So, when you take a look at what he looked like so far, I thought the defense has been ahead of the offense so far. And if the Browns are going to overachieve, they were leaning on those defensive guys to make those plays.
Well, you know, and I couldn't agree more because, you know, to be successful, they got to win on first down. And that's going to start with that defensive line. And then you get the second, third, long. Now you're turning those pass rushers loose. And then you have those good corners that can cover. So you can bring more pressure if you needed. And Martin Emerson, like I said, since he's gotten here, I enjoy watching him practice. He steps up against every good player. He's always first in line. He works at his craft. And I think you said it best. I've had a number of injuries where sometimes you're not sure. And then other times you just know it's not right.
And yeah, and usually when they're in tears, that's kind of like the big giveaway that something's not great.
Yeah, just something – it didn't look right. His face looked looked defeated.
This isn't Justin Fields, who had a toe injury and is going to be back tomorrow, even though it maybe didn't look the greatest. With MJ, I just feel so bad for him. And I'm going to get your guys' breakdown and where the Browns go from here. But I feel awful for him because I really think he was so much better than he was last year in so many ways. And like, he's one of these players that you just had to assume was going to, not only because it's a contract year, but just because he wasn't what he was last year. But so many parts of this defense weren't what they were last year either.
Well, you know that here the offense caused a lot of that. People, because when you're a defense and you know you got to pitch a shutout, it's hard to do that, right? And sometimes you try to do things you're out of character.
I mean, they only had four picks all last year, though. Like Coach Riz, that's impossible as a football team to only have four interceptions all season.
Well, for me, that comes down you got to do more on first down because if you can win on first down, you're creating those exotic looks that creates pass pressure that you can do some things with coverage. Quarterback's got to get rid of the ball. For me, it's all about with these guys. Being on a struggle, they got to win first down because then you can do what you do. That's what you're best at. You're best at rushing the passer and covering. But if they don't win on first down and that offense coordinator gets to dictate, that's where they can struggle a little bit. They got to sell out on first down, win on first down, then they got a chance.
All right, so you two, I love you two because you guys are two of the very best, I believe, when it comes to like the nits and the grits and like breaking things down and like knowing what you're talking about when you go through this. So we'll give it to both of you, but we'll start with you, Coach Riz. What happens if MJ Emerson, if this injury is significant? Is it just going to be Cam Mitchell that steps up? What does this look like for the Browns without him? I assume Newsom, then obviously we get to actually play the outside, which he seems like he really wants to do and has been vocal about in the past couple years as well.
Well, two things I immediately looked to try to, like, trying to get back on track is always hard, but who was the first guy in? Newsom went outside, and Hickman went to the nickel, which tells me now Hickman looks a little bit thicker this year. That looks like a spot he can play. And when you're at the nickel, you got run fits. You got C&D run fits, so you got to make sure you can do that. I'm not sure if he can. Who knows? Obviously, that'll come with pads, and that'll come with scrimmages. But that was the first thing in was he went to that nickel, and then Newsom went outside where he likes. And I think Cam Mitchell will be a part of that because I still think they want to have Newsom inside, who's doing a great job inside. And once again, in Schwartz's scheme, that C&D, you're a backer, and you gotta if you're gonna be in that nickel, you're a backer, and you gotta make sure you can stop the run.
Yeah, Greg Newsom alluded to that. When you are a nickelback, like it ain't Madden. You just don't get the line up on a tight end or get it back out of the backfield. No, they're gonna put you in conflict, and they're gonna say, hey, listen, let's see if we can run that outside zone and see if they can come up and be a solid force player. So. That's intriguing because I did not see, them moving him from safety down into Ronnie Hickman moving from safety down to the nickel position because technically that's, you got receivers. You got a third receiver sometimes that you're going to cover too. So we're going to see how that works out and who rolls in with the safeties. I'll be interested to see who's those next wave of safeties, right? They brought in a bunch of people. But if Hickman is going to be your next guy up, who's the next guy in secondary in safety room?
Well, the guy I like is Kazee because he's been pretty good. But that guy, you're right, that guy who plays deep in Delpit, I love Delpit down in the box. But that guy who plays deep, he's got to create some turnovers. But that creating those turnovers, like we said, that starts with pressure. And they got to win on first down. Then all of a sudden you win because now you're in wide threes, you're in wide fives. You can move your ends down inside. As you know, you can create some issues because you know they got to pass. Yeah. Now, if you lose on first down and you go nickel, like G. Bush is saying, now they're going to say, all right, you're going to go nickel on second and five. We're going to run out zone right at you, and we're going to make you tackle. We're going to have our 270-pound tight end chip off on you, see if you can handle that. So they got to win on first down, but, I think Kazee's a guy. Jenkins they brought over. There's some guys that they have, but those guys got to create turnovers, right? Like you were saying, only four last year. But that starts those turnovers, and this defense, in my opinion, starts with winning on first and creating pressure with those guys up front.
All right, Coach, let me ask you, I need the quarterback breakdown. We'll start with Dylan Gabriel, and then we can make our way to Shador and Joe Flacco. Go ahead.
I thought Dylan had a pretty good day. I thought Dylan did pretty well days one through three. He really struggled on Saturday. He struggled mightily on Saturday. And everybody's concerns, I was a little bit higher on Dylan than most coming out, and I still am very high on him. But the concerns people have are legit, right? Now, what I saw today, if he's going to be successful, I liked it because they're moving the pocket for him. He's not a guy who can throw from A gap every time.
Okay. The interception didn't worry you.
No, because that was they were doing situational stuff. That was a four.
Okay.
Now, the only thing I thought he should have done, it was just four verts. That was fourth down, no time on the clock. Mm. So he should have given it. My thing, I wrote in my notes, he should have been a little bit of air, because we always told our guys, let your guy catch it or tip it, right? So almost like a Hail Mary play. So I don't think he didn't give anybody enough chance to, like, go get it if needed.
I like what you just said right there, because you gave context to it, because a lot of times people will just see the highlights and say, oh, he threw an interception. But the context is the drill is set up for a certain way to get a certain outcome to put you in different positions. And look, it's fourth down, no time left on the clock. So that gives people context as to why he threw it there or where he threw it. And so it's just not, hey, he just threw an interception. I think that's important. That's some of the stuff you see if you kind of practice and you're involved in it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. So if I'm telling him, I'm saying, it's fourth down. That's it. Like, you got to have your guys, they had all the big guys in there. Throw it where our guy, and the Joe can get it, or he's going to tip it, right? It's got to be like almost a Hail Mary. So that would be my only takeaway on that. But it is, when you look at all these throwing numbers from a practice and stuff, for me, they're way overvalued. Because the situational stuff, sometimes they're doing 2 minutes, sometimes they're bringing pressure, sometimes there's no pass protection, sometimes there's great pass protection, you get a bad route. So there's so many contexts that go in, this guy throws this many touchdowns, but they were in red zone, all the balls were from the 3-yard line in, kind of deal. So a lot of context. Going back to it, I thought Dylan did a pretty good job today because they moved the pocket. They're going to have to move the pocket for him. They're going to have to use launch points. But I tell everybody, I see why Kevin likes him, because he's pretty good on the run. He can throw that levels concept off the boot. He's a quick decision maker when they get in that empty out of 12 personnel, when they get big and they're trying to find matchups if you can get regular personnel. So you see why he likes him. The concerns, even though I'm higher on him than most, the concerns are real. He's got to be able to, create lanes and move the pocket. He can't be a pocket guy. I truly don't believe it. And for me, his height, as much as it is seeing, when you're in that 200-pound range with these guys, can you be available? Can you survive these hits by these big guys? So I thought he's been solid. Once again, I think there's, moving forward, you need more live periods with these guys. They're getting way too much criticism, way too much praise right now.
All right, what about Shador? What did you see today? By all accounts, it didn't seem like it was the best day that we've seen from Shador.
No, they kind of switched yesterday. So Dylan was very average yesterday, and I thought Shador had his best end of session. He's always shown flashes, and then he'll have two things I noticed. One is when his footwork isn't right, he's not an elite arm talent guy. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be able to make sure he's transferring his weight from his right side to his left side, especially when he doesn't have to. Now, I tell everybody, why would he have bad habits? Because he didn't have any pass protection. So he's learned how to create time for himself, knowing where pressure comes. I've heard a lot on this channel, people calling in saying, hey, he doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing, but he's created bad habits because no run game and not having great pass protection.
Yeah.
Today he struggled, and reason why is because his footwork, in my opinion, wasn't very good, especially in that last session. When you're going 2 minute, right, the clock always speeds up, right? So sometimes your fundamentals go away because you're like, everything is happening with under 12 seconds because you got to get plays off. So that's what I saw with him today, which is one of Dylan's strengths, playing 6 years of football, right? He's been in a little bit more, and that's just reps, I think, in my opinion.
Do you think that's why, from a coaching standpoint, you can see sometimes, he doesn't have the tightest spiral on the football? Is that mechanics, or is that just a natural way that it comes off Shador's hand? Sometimes it's a little – if you watch Dylan Gabriel, he's throwing it out. It's on the line. It's there. Do you think that could be a thing with Shador, is just sometimes the footwork and the mechanics get a little off kilter, and if he works on that, it'll come out a little better in certain circumstances?
Yeah, you have so many times you hear, quarterback's got to be a throw-off platform, and that happens, but there's only very few quarterbacks that can do that successfully, consistently, right? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you have to, for the most part, and that's what Dylan does. Dylan's very polished. So when he's throwing that stuff, he's using his whole body. He's transferring from the right side to the left side. He's torquing those hips, all those things we talk about as a coach. He's doing all those things, fundamentally. So when Shador is throwing off his back foot, two things happen. One is he doesn't create great velocity on the ball, could affect this spiral. Mm-hmm. And secondly, he's late. Because having your weight back and have to transfer it forward without being balanced in the NFL, that's a pick. you know, that split milliseconds a pick in the NFL, and that's kind of what you're seeing. For me, trying to watch every throw that he has and watching every throw in college, when he's fundamentally right, he's really good.
All right, give us one other camp nugget from today. Anybody that shined, anybody that looked really, really good, or even go the other direction, somebody that disappointed.
Well, Deontay Johnson has had a really nice couple days.
Another good day for him today?
Another good day for him.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah,
he's been, I feel like he's been the camp star right now.
But I will say that the receivers as a whole, very questioned group. I think they've been competing very well. Now, can they compete at the NFL level? Obviously, that happens in live action. But I think practice-wise, I thought Jamari Thrash had a pretty good day to catch some chunk plays, 12 to 15 yards. The offensive line is a little bit of a concern. However, when pads go on, I always tell people, give the offensive lineman a little bit of a break, because when you don't have pads on, it's hard to pass protect. I mean, it's you know that.
You
it's hard.
Grab. You can't I do. Can't, you can't, I can't get sneaky.
Yeah, you can't do. And it's just so it's tough. And this defensive line makes it tough because they're not a two-gap team. They're common. So if you're thinking as an offensive lineman, you're run by these guys. So I would say the receiver group. And then, you know, I would say for me, it's just who's going to be the next guard up. I've seen some rotation in there with Zinter and Thomas. And, you know, can they get back to that physical mentality? They've run the ball okay, but they have not moved vertically, people, in those double teams, what they want to do on that inside zone and gap schemes.
You know, that's a real cool thing. I just talked to Jonathan about this. I don't know. That's the biggest question mark. Can you go from what they did last year to let's recreate what we did in 2020, where we got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and we're downhill, and you see the, you know, I call it to buy one, get one free. Wyatt Teller is moving people off the ball and getting out and wiping guys out, but Tonio is in his prime. I don't know, because it takes time to ramp up to that. They have to be physical, and that takes a toll on your offensive line. So is that something that we should be expecting to come as the season goes along, or is that something we should see since day one, if that's going to be their identity?
Well, the energy down there with Bloomgren's been a lot different, right? So Bloomgren comes from, you know, Callahan with the Jets, and you see, for me, Bloomgren, like Callahan, always is the why, right? So they're just not doing aimless drills where they're blocking the guy in front of them. Bloomgren is giving them a picture saying, all right, you're going to block this three technique outside eye, but knowing that Mike's going to come A. So he's not only doing drills, but he's telling them the why, which I think is so important. Now, you're right. How much physicality can you have? Because you can't say you're physical. You have to go out and practice physical, and that takes a wear and tear on your body. But I see it in practice. I see the drills very Callahan-like right now in terms of how they're the energy, no rest, get going, lots of passion, sense of urgency, attention to detail, where your hands are, where your feet are. And he gets after them. You know, I always tell people two most important coaches are – your O-line coach and your strength coach. And I think Bloomer's going to do a great job.
No question. Coach Riz, we appreciate you stopping by, and we'll catch up with you, obviously, throughout the rest of training camp. But you'll be with me before every game. I think it's 3 hours before every game, and we'll have a lot of fun.
You're in good hands. He knows the stuff.
I know.
You're in good hands.
That's why we brought him on board. I was like, this is the guy. We need him. We need to get him in immediately, and here we are. Thanks, Coach.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, good stuff with Coach Riz right there. More with G. Bush and myself. We're going to go into a Shador Sanders conversation. The Browns being forced to take Shador seriously this afternoon drive right here on the Fan.